troops and the governors of the districts. They said, "Who shall begin the battle?" He answered, "You." Then he mustered the servants of the governors of the districts, and they were 232. And after them, he mustered all the people of Israel, 7,000. So if you look at what's going on here, he doesn't have a whole lot of people, but what did the prophet say? You're gonna see God's glory. You're gonna see the power of God. You're gonna see what God wants to do in your life. It's gonna be amazing. But you have to follow God. What a tough time. But I want you to see something interesting. God has given Ahab chance after chance after chance. God gives us multiple chances too. And that's why some of us are still here. He kept giving, I'm giving you a chance. But I want you to notice who gets the glory for this. Did the prophet say, "We're going to do this so that you look like you're the most amazing king alive"? No, that's not what he said at all, was it? He said, "We're going to do this because it's basically for the glory of God. Because these are God's people. Because even though you guys are not following, even though the people are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, God, it's their people. It's his people, rather. And he's going to make this happen. But you have to do this." And there had to be an action for Ahab. I like the fact that God gives them another chance. said to him, "Their gods are gods of the hills, and so they were stronger than we, but let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they." Now, here we get into some bizarre thinking. You'll find this in tribal kind of mentality. Obviously, the problem was this. Obviously, it was because we're fighting the hills. They're gods of the hills. So we're going to take their plains. We're gonna make it awesome, because that's obviously what our strong suit is. That's what we're really good at. See? And their god is obviously the one of us. That's just the arrow, the abilities of God. And I think what a foolish thing to do for these guys, because God is everywhere. God is all powerful. God is all these things. They narrow the ability, or they don't really narrow anything. God's like, I'm not worried about that. But the thing, the way they figure it out is the wrong thing. Some of you may relate to this. Would you remember that TV that you had when you hit the top of it and started working on it? Was that truly the fix to that television?
Yeah.
But it worked for a second, right? So that's obviously what's wrong. It's lacking a slap on the top of it. And that's kind of the mindset that these guys came with. We lost in the hills, but you know, we're not really hill people. We come from West Texas. We don't come from the Rocky Mountains. We come from Amarillo.
You know,
we ain't no mountains where we live.
We're used to the plains. So to them, it made absolute sense. Well, obviously, their God is God of the hills.
Well, it can't be the fact that God is sovereign, God is God of all. No, it can't be that at all. Instead, no, it's just because
God is limited.
The problem for these guys is God is limited. God's not limited to the hills. God's not limited to the plains. God's not limited.
We're humans, we think we've got it all together, right?
Mankind, boy, we got this thing set in rock and roll. How much of the oceans are down? The percentage is staggeringly low.
We don't have a clue.
The God who created this world, the God who knows what's in the depths of the ocean, the God who has all control of all things, is not limited to the hills.
But that's what they're saying.
And from their mindset, maybe they see it, they've justified it, they've made it to make sense to themselves. But they said, oh, they're obviously the guys who play. Verse 24 says, "And do this, remove the kings, each from his post, and put commanders in their places. And muster an army like the army that you have lost, horse for horse, chariot for chariot. Then we will fight against them in the plain, and surely we will be stronger than they." And he listened to their voice, and he did so. Hey, let's rebuild the army to what it was. They lost a ton of people. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to build the army back to full size, full capacity. If we lost a horse, we're replacing that horse. If we lost a chariot, we're replacing that chariot. So they're rebuilding. They are rebuilding their military, because if you remember what happened, Ahab took out the horses and the chariots and stuff like that. They're mass production on some chariots. Not really mass breeding horses, but you're getting some horses together.
told the Lord, "Strike me, please." But the man refused to strike him. Then he said to him, "Because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as you have gone from me, a lion shall strike you down." And as soon as he had departed from him, a lion met him and struck him down. And then he found another man and said, "Strike me, please." And the man struck him. Disguising himself with a bandage over his eyes. But as the king passed, he cried to the king and said, "Your servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a soldier turned and brought a man to me and said, 'Guard this man. If by any means he is missing, your life shall be for his life. Or else you shall pay a talent of silver.' And as your servant was